We're Technology for Global Development, and you're with me, Dia, and Yavor from TUE, the Eindhoven University of Technology. And today we're going to be speaking to Marit from AMS Institute. AMS Institute is based in Amsterdam, and they work on urban challenges that the city faces today. So Marit, do you want to tell us a little bit about what you do?
Sure, of course. So I'm working on the development of bio-based materials, and I'm involved in several projects in this. And from AMS, or like my role is to look into what might be interesting or possible applications for these kind of materials in the urban context.
So you said you're working on bio-based materials, right? Could you explain to us what exactly bio-based materials are?
Bio-based materials are materials from renewable and natural resources, and mainly they occur from living matter.
So, okay. And therefore they're easy to be absorbed back into the natural cycles once they're used.
Not necessarily has to be the case. It depends on how you treat them or what kind of material made out of them. But so it mainly actually relates to the resource. So that means from a natural or an organic resource. Mm-hmm. You also have, for example, bio-based or bioplastics that are not necessarily biodegradable. So it doesn't mean that they can easily go back to that. That's another story.
Okay.
You have bio-based and biodegradability, and they're two different aspects, actually.
Yeah.
So typically, these bio-based materials, they would be extracted from a bio source,
mm-hmm.
right? And what are these sources?
There can be all kind of sources, as I said, from living matter, so kind of crops or from the woods or also by bacteria or maybe even animals or fungi or mycelium,
mm-hmm.
is also
mm-hmm.
something that is used. It goes from it's not in that sense a very new thing. Like, we are building with wood for thousands of years, and I think a lot of ancient building technologies or material use is bio-based, so in that sense it's maybe we can also learn from that. But at the same time, there are also initiatives where I try to make new kind of materials from this. There is actually a wide variety on this, and I think this is also one of the important aspects of bio-based materials, that the supply is much wider than fossil-based.
Mm-hmm.
So you can resource it from so many different resources.
You're saying fossil based? Does that mean that you're directly competing with the petrochemicals industry, or the competition is with other materials too?
I think one of the aim nowadays with developing bio based economy of bio based materials, building materials, is to actually replace the more fossil based
mm-hmm.
materials, yes. Mm-hmm. Or at least to find more sustainable alternatives.
So, which are these alternatives that we would typically see in the market?
I already said wood, but also wool and leather. We have cork, clay. These are all kind of quite commonly known materials of which we make products.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And why should we care about them? That's not a too question.
About bio-based materials?
Yeah.
They are, I think, an interesting alternative. And I also said, like, they have a much wider resource availability, so that also gives option. That makes you also less dependent on just a few resources, but also it makes it much more diverse, and in that way also less vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And also the chance of running out of something, if you do it in the right way, might also be less. So, and another thing that's very interesting is that with these materials, you also have the option to actually to store COT for carbon storage. Because something is growing, it takes up CO2, and as long as it's used and it keeps the same state, this CO2 is kept. And only when it has to biodegrade or is burned, then the CO2 comes out again. But this is another thing that's interesting as well.
So there seems to be a lot of varied applications for bio-based materials. Mm-hmm. So which ones would you say are the most common, but also the ones with the most potential in terms of in our society?
You mean for which sector or which kind of resource?
Both.
I think ideally we would replace a lot of our things, I think definitely in the building sector there we can win a lot, and also there is now a lot of innovation also in bio-based building, so people also see the interest in this and trying to further develop this. But I think also in our common products, and also try to replace a part of our plastic consumption by bio-based alternatives. Maybe not for everything, but there's a lot I think we better replace. Yeah.
And although that question might be a bit tangential, but if we transition to a more bio-based economy, would that change this paradigm of one-time usage of particular things?
I'm not sure. That's a bit of a different question, of course, because that's more behavior than now we're talking just about the resource and the material. I'm not sure if we can.
Okay, sure.
You never know. It could be that people value it more and then maybe would use it longer, but this is really speculating.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But one thing which is, there's also of course there's always also threats to, and one of these things that you don't want to compete with food production,
mm-hmm.
Or at least not that people start to produce, or that's more profitable to produce for production instead of for food. So I think therefore it's also especially interesting to look at organic waste streams as an input for the bio-based materials, because there's so many of these, and also for example within food production, if you look at the beetroot is for sugar making, then a lot of it, there's a small part is the sugar part, but there's so much that can't be used. Or is used in a more of a low value way. So if you would look at these kind of streams, then I think there's a lot of potential make more optimized use of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that sounds very interesting.
Yeah.
And I guess Reflex is an example of one of these materials which are based on waste.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. So for Reflex, it's the ingredients are mainly coming from a wastewater treatment process. Reflex is the material we are actually developing in the current project I'm working on, and it's a biocomposite, and it's made from Calmera, and that's an a biopolymer which is produced by bacteria that are part of the water treatment process. So they're creating this biopolymer, and that can be extracted, and that function as a sort of glue actually, or in this case into a resin or binder. And then in this material cellulose are added, and cellulose from retreat toilet paper. So that is taken out of also to clean what is taken out, is cleaned, and then you have these fibers which are still quite valuable. And so in this process they are mixed and pressed into a new biocomposite. Yeah.
So for those who are listening, we have your plates in front of us, and because you can't see it, maybe we can describe it for you.
Sure.
So Replex, it's really dark in color. It's almost black. It feels very rubbery. It's glossy. And it has a funky smell to it. we think it smells a little like licorice, but also Marmite. And yeah, it's really smooth to touch. Yeah, and it feels nice and strong even.
Yeah, I think it's so far we found a moderate strength and quite a low stiffness, which we are also still working on to optimize this part. But yeah, in terms of appearance, I think it looks quite nice. Of course, it's dark, but it also it depends on how you see it. I think it might also give a luxury feeling to it, and because. And we are making sort of dough out of it, and that is it's called the green body, so that can be pressed into a mold, and that also means that we can produce flat plates, but we also can produce more 3D, three-dimensional shapes. And so this also really makes it a composite material, but that is an added value to other bio-based materials, that it can only be flat sheets. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And for what applications do you want to develop Replex?
We are looking into applications now. It's not that we are developing for a certain application, but of course we are looking into how it can be used, because yeah, then it only will be of use. But we are looking into several directions. One of the things that's interesting is for nature restoration, because it's very likely that it's biodegradable, so that makes it suitable to place it somewhere in nature, and then to help to restore a certain habitat, and then it can just after some time it's strong enough to maintain itself, and then the material is no longer needed. Another things that we're looking into, in applications in the construction area, also because there is such a big change needed in this area, so and that can be either on the long or the short term. So short term would be temporary applications, and long term would be, for example, facade panels or something like that. But we need to do still some optimization, also look into the lifetime to see whether that really is an option. Yeah.
And how do you see people reacting to Replex? I mean, do you think people will easily accept it to be in their homes?
Yeah, well, the smell, of course, is an issue, although this is something that might be solved in the future, just because it might be just a temporary thing due to how Camera is currently stored. But at the moment, I think it's maybe not so suitable indoors because of the smell. Especially when you have a big surface, it might be quite present. But maybe in the future. And so I think so far we haven't shown it to a lot of people, but the people that got involved, they show curiosity, they find it interesting, they especially find the resource interesting and the story behind it. And they are sort of, I think they react quite differently to whether they really would. So sometimes some find it interesting and are appealed to it, and others are less appealed. To it. And so, it's nothing.
Yeah. And maybe to expand again the scope of the conversation again, are there cases in which bio-based materials have been opposed by society in the past?
I guess so, but I don't know.
Okay.
Well, it's, I mean, yeah, as I said, like, they're already there for a long time, and I think most of the time not, because they're natural, and I think most people are appealed to this. But yeah, both in the sense that in nowadays the ones they were developing, they're also not mainstream yet. And this is due to a lot of reasons, which are also in policy, but also in terms of cost and unknown properties, and especially lasting is something, yeah, if you are not sure how it's going to behave over the time, then maybe you don't really want to use it for the time being. But of course, all these materials are at this stage yet, so that's a bit of a difficulty at the moment.
And would you say that the academy in the Netherlands, or maybe more broadly in the European Union, is contributing to the development of these materials?
Yes, there are definitely a lot is going on. So and there are also there's also funding available. There is an interest in this. So yes, there's definitely work done to get this further. And both from academia but also from industry, there I think there's a mutual interest.
So you said that one of the key ingredients for Replex is Calmera, which is the bacteria that's used as the adhesive. How easily available is Calmera? How can we really produce Replex on that larger scale?
At the moment, there are two test plants in the Netherlands, so it's quite small scale yet. But of course, that's also always this when there's a lot of demand for it, that might also rise, because in potential it can become quite big, and there should be enough to supply quite large quantities, especially because this is part of a wastewater treatment plant that is much more efficient than the common water treatment we had used to have. Like, it uses less space and less energy, so it's for that reason already interesting to use. And then as an added benefit, you could also then produce this Calmera, which could give you some more revenue. There is enough potential, but of course there also is we need a need for it, and this is always a bit of a trade-off. And also, I mean, this is also possible worldwide, of course.
This new way of treating water that
has
Calmera as a byproduct.
Yes, it's in the Nevada process, and this. This can be applied everywhere.
So currently, Calmera is produced only in the Netherlands as a byproduct, or
there is a project now running where they are also looking in, which is on a European scale, and I'm not entirely they are developing a more of a mobile processing plant. And that's going to travel also to Portugal, I think, and another. I'm not sure actually.
Okay. Sounds like something more technologically advanced that is not yet present in less developed countries.
Not yet. And that's also because Calmera in itself is a very new biopolymer. So there's also a lot of its properties are still unknown. We're not entirely sure yet what it is, and so a lot of research is still doing at the TU Delft to better understand this this biopolymer. But it's currently not widely available like other bio-based materials.
At the end, what's the future research agenda for Replex then? You already hinted that Calmera needs to be more researched and its properties are not yet completely known.
Yeah, so a lot of research around Camera is done and will also continue for Reflex particularly. Well, in the coming year, we will develop prototypes and we'll do test cases in living labs, so in more of a real life setting, to get a bit of better feeling for this all these unknown properties and how it actually behaves in reality. And then based on that, I think we'll look further into how to how we will proceed and what will be the next step.
Yeah. You said living labs, and you're going to use that as a way to develop applications for Reflex.
Well, mainly to test the applications.
Okay, yeah. What is a living lab?
A living lab is a place where on a small scale things can be tested in a relatively real life setting. For example, next to AMS, we have a living lab which is where you can apply to put something and so then it doesn't really have to function yet. It can still fail, but it also means that it's placed in so to make it a bit more concrete with an example, for the nature restoration, we could then place something in the water and see over a year or half a year what is actually happening, and so we can monitor what is happening in the outdoor world to the material. Are things growing on it? Is it actually is it degrading, or how long does it keep its shape? So instead of having only a lab setting, we can then test in a bit more real life, but still being able to monitor it.
Yeah.
So it's not only then in that case used to validate the application itself, but it's also a way to figure out what properties Reflex has.
Definitely, yes, yes. It will also help to better understand the behavior of the material. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I personally don't have any more questions, but it sounds quite an interesting prospect to me.
Good.
One last question, actually. There seem to be a lot of stakeholders involved, right? There's someone developing it, but there's also someone producing the camera.
Yeah.
And people working on the properties of Reflex itself. So, I should have framed this better.
How does that work? why?
How does it work in the sense that you have multiple teams working on this, but also it seems to be spread over the country, right?
Well, not so much actually. Most is based in Amsterdam now. But maybe it's also a good opportunity to introduce all parties because they're not like that. In this project there are five parties involved, and so you have the TU Delft and AMS, and they're more the knowledge institutes, and at TU Delft the Camera is researched and then you have several companies that are involved and that are Chaincraft, and they are actually developing Camera in such a way that to sell it as to get market value. And in this project particular, we're looking at creating a resin for biocomposites from Camera. So it needs some treatment to create this to make it suitable for. So it's harvest from the wastewater treatment, and afterwards it still needs some post treatments to make it suitable to this particular application, and so they have some other applications as well, which they do some other processing as well. And then you have MPSP, and they are developing biocomposites, so they are actually wanting this Camera resin from Janecraft, then they are mixing it with the cellulose and some other additives. They are all bio-based, and they are actually producing the so they're making this dough and they're putting it in the mold and they're producing the object. And then finally also BAM, the big construction company, is involved also to provide these use cases to see how it could actually work in, for example, in construction. And AMS is involved for also as part of this living lab to see how we how it could be used in the city or what kind of how it could be tested in practice.
So how would it work? How would you introduce replex into the society? Would you, because for instance, wood is very widely used and people have just accepted it over such a long time. But how do you envision replex entering society?
Yeah, that's I think it's good that we have some, well, where we're working on now is that we'll introduce it by possible applications, so that we have these three bit different applications to show that there's a diversity in its use, but also to show that actually something, as a proof of concept a bit, that you actually can make it, and hopefully that will help for people to trust this material and also envision it in their projects and how they can use it. So to try to sort of highlight and promote certain aspects of the material that are interesting and of added value.
So which are the properties that you're going for, which catch the attention of people?
So we're talking about biodegradability, the moldability in three-dimensional shapes, but also it has a quite good flame retardancy, fire retardancy, so that's interesting as well. And of course, that it's waste-based and bio-based is one of its strongest aspects.
That's interesting.
Definitely. Looking at the time though, I think it would be good if we wrap it up.
Yes, sure.
Thank you very much for the conversation.
Yeah.
It was very interesting.
It was a pleasure to have you.